Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got an excellent guest for the show today, Eric Vaughn. He's been a founder and a CEO of many different companies, and today he is CEO of IgniteTet, GFI Software, and Koros. Let me make sure I say IgniteTet. Right, got it. That's there. Right. IgniteTet. So Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Thomas. So glad to be here.
So we're going to be talking a lot about AI today because you work in AI and intersect with it in many different capacities. So give us a landscape of your work and your thinking in AI.
Yeah, and this is going to be so unique because literally no one else in the world is talking about AI currently. Like, it's not even a hot topic. There's no other podcasts or any other shows.
Yeah, what's AI?
About AI? They're not covering it on the news. World leaders aren't talking about it.
I mean, they're burying it.
Yeah. So it's good that we're bringing it to the surface finally. Oh, all jokes aside, Thomas, I've been in this business over 30 years. As you mentioned, I was the founder and CEO of three software companies, and I have never, ever seen anything that was more profound coming out of a technology. Typically, we technologists love to tell companies and customers how important the latest trend is. Think about blockchain and crypto and all that talk for the years past. Was not saying it wasn't important. It certainly has made differences in lots of ways. But the difference here with AI, and we've got to be specific, it's Gen AI, because to the uninitiated and to the initiated, AI has actually been around for decades. AI and machine learning, artificial intelligence, machine learning. I mean, you can go back to 2001, A Space Odyssey, a movie that's 50 years old, where rogue AI was brought up as it didn't want to follow Dave's instructions to open the bay doors, right? So for 50 years, we've been telling people about this thing called AI that's coming for us. But 3 years ago, almost October of 2022, OpenAI released this thing called ChatGPT, which is great. It's now become the Kleenex, the generic brand for AI. But what it did was so important, and it's a word I use frequently to refer not only to AI, but some other pivotal technologies. It democratized AI, meaning it made it available to everybody. And like any other change in the world, when something gets democratized, meaning you remove barriers and you make it available universally to everybody, things change and they change profoundly. And that's literally what happened and why you and I are talking today. It made it so a 5-year-old on their iPad can talk to ChatGPT, or an 80-year-old on their iPhone can talk to Perplexity and do things that they never thought they could. And they're just delighted with the kind of information that they're able to get at their fingertips.
There's that. And what's really amazing to me, Eric, is that we had the big inflection point that you brought up 3 years ago of the introduction of OpenAI ChatGPT. Everyone starts using it. And then there's this discovery period where we're all figuring out what it can do. So you first start using it, you're like, oh my God, this thing is God. I can figure out it. It's like, oh, okay, well, no, it's got some limitations. And then you've got waves of people saying, hey, you know what? You can do this with it. Or that annoying task, that annoying problem that you bump into. It turns out you kind of use Gen AI to solve that. And so we've all been slowly discovering how we use this in our jobs, in our personal lives. And it's just been this growing relevancy and presence in our lives. And then businesses are discovering those things too. It looks like we can't replace everybody with AI, the executive might find out, but they say we can make everyone more efficient. And tell me your thoughts, sort of the discovery period. What are some of the relevant areas of that discovery of the uses of Gen AI that we can look at, and where your mind is at with that?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's profound in that everybody has access to it, and it has spurred a lot of conversations about efficiencies. Awfully boring word, isn't it? Efficiencies. But just that's just like a table stake of something like AI. We tend to look at AI as this phenomenal multiplier and innovator because we're able to do things. Well, number one, we're able to take rote tasks and delegate them to AI. And so that's empowering for human. And I want to say right up front, after now over 2.5 years of driving this through our companies, you mentioned at the top, I'm CEO of Ignite Tech and GFI Software, and we just acquired a new company, very exciting company called Chorus, which is a very interesting company that has software that empowers communities, right? Communities for brands, the online communities of people helping support brands like car companies and toy companies and developers and people you go post a message and ask a question, they have moderators and the like. It's a wonderful playground to have AI that could multiply those people, not replace those people. Because I will tell you, since acquiring Chorus 2 months ago, I've learned that the community world is a world all to its own. Like these people love being part of the community world, helping people around the world with their online presence, answering questions, helping people instead of the actual brand directly helping. So it provides support deflection, for example, but there's real goodness in this people connection. So what we're interested in doing with AI there is enhancing their ability to deliver more and more timely and quick. So you talk about efficiency, it's absolutely that. And for 2 years, we radically transformed Ignite Tech and GFI Software. And when I say radically transformed, we had a wake-up call in the beginning of 2023 where we said, everything's changed. We are technology leaders. We need to lead. We need to get out so our customers can follow in our footsteps and we can show them and pave the way. And the first thing that we had to do, and it's been my recipe for a lot of companies, CEOs down, to say, you've got to set this as a foundational aspect of your corporate operation. You have to make this a primary mission, and the CEO needs to say that. Okay. And then you need to then give the time, the effort, the space, and the investment to help your companies upskill. I was talking to Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, at a conference that we were both at. And I was delighted that he had announced, for example, that all, I think it was 64,000 of the public employees in the state of New Jersey were being upskilled in AI. They were learning skills. They were being made, having tools made available to them and giving them training. And that's the kind of wholesale thing, Thomas, that we've got to see in all companies. But it has some costs.
Okay, what this reminds me of is digital transformation. And when we were chatting before we hopped into this interview, you mentioned AI transformation. And I'm always thinking about digital transformation when a company is, okay, we're going to revamp our internal digital presence, our processes. We're going to take it into the 21st century. Is AI's transformation, is that another level of that? Is it similar in some ways? Is that kind of what you do? Or is there something adjacent related to that that I'm not thinking about?
First and foremost, a cultural transformation. Like you show up one day and you say, hey guys, everything you used to do is different. You're going to do it differently. And you're going to get a whole bunch of people going, yeah, I don't like that. I don't want to change. You're like, oh, you're going to really love it. And we're going to invest and teach you. They're like, I like doing what I do. And you say, good luck in your next career. And that's literally what you have to do. You have to figure out who's going to be with you in this transformation. You've got to make it a non-negotiable item, which is exactly what we did. But we did it in a way, I always say, my conscience is clear because we invested in time, experts we brought in from outside, training, courses, tuition reimbursement, unlimited spend on tools. Like they didn't have to say, can I spend $30 a month for a tool? Yes, you can, just expense it. You've got to provide, like you can't tell people to change and then not give them the tools and the time and the investment to change. So the first part of the transformation is cultural. The second part of the transformation becomes almost a thinking transformation. And we call this AI first, right? You think about being AI first. And what that literally means is you first think of AI for anything you do. Is there a way you could go leverage that and use that to enhance something you're doing? Let's take the example of this podcast. I'll take the transcript from this podcast when you and I are done, and I will feed it into an AI project that I have that has all my transcripts. And I'll say, how did I do? You know, any tips, any notes for me? And did I hit that point? Did I forget something there? It's amazing. I've got this private coach here. That's just one example. And so you find that you have to either transform people who are willing or hire people that are willing. In our case, we ended up replacing 80% of our team.
80. Okay. So that leads into what was going to be my next question. And I think so too. A lot of that is necessary because the AI, it's going to be so different. And when you look into the average workplace 3 years from now, I was going to say 5 years from now, but it'll be faster than that.
Three years from now, two years, it's going to be
completely different from everything we remembered, right? Yep. COVID changed the way everything, people expect things to go. But I imagine a lot of it is fear. And you just... Oh, mentioned this 80% of the, and we had the big famous high profile cases. You had like when Zuckerberg was like, oh, we're going to be doing all the things differently. If people don't like it, they can self-select, I think he said, said famously, we're going to be extremely hardcore and be putting a lot of hours. So people are scared. So if you come in the first day and you say, look, the company's going to be going toward AI. Next thing you know, people are at the water cooler talking about, yeah, how long do you think our department has? So how much of that is true? How much of that is not? How afraid should people be in this? How do you think people should take this? Managers, how should people think about this other than just the fear of I can be replaced?
Everybody's always afraid of change. I absolutely believe that when the power screwdriver was first invented, we had a bunch of carpenters that said, nope, you just don't get the feel of the screwdriver in the screw the same way as you hold it in your hand. Like there's no way with my 15 years of experience of building homes that power screwdriver is ever going to help. Yeah. I mean, you laugh, but it's true. It doesn't matter if it's a horse and carriage to an automobile. It doesn't matter if it was the launch of the internet. For one of my talks I did some time ago, I found a video where Katie Couric, the famous CBS broadcaster, was on a show saying, I'm not going to use this thing called the internet. I'm afraid if I start doing that, I'll stop talking to people. Now, if you look at it now, she wasn't wrong. Like there is a lot of people staring at phones today. There are a lot of people staring at phones today, I should say. That is true. It's 100%, but there's always fear of change. So there's always fear of change, and the company needs to be supportive, not in reassurance simply, but just you're going to learn. What you should be is excited. We're going to give you a path to become this AI specialist. And we had people that absolutely transformed and became very productive, but we did find that we instead needed to go out and hire people that had already adopted this mindset. And quite frankly, because we had been so noisy about it in the community, they wanted to come to work here because many people were working for companies where this is being suppressed. You know, there's all kinds of surveys out there of subversive behavior of people smuggling AI in because it's forbidden. But they're like, I'm not going to not use AI. It's got perfect grammar. What, you want me to proofread my own, right? What the heck? Makes no
Because not everything you do is core to your value. If someone has to write a report, they might have the experience and analytical skills of doing a bunch of steps, but should they be spending a bunch of hours perfectly wording the report and perfectly organizing it? You're probably helping everybody if you just let them use AI for certain parts of that. You help people with this, right? Is that kind of what Ignite Tech does? So if a corporate leadership says, hey, we need to take these big important steps in AI, it's existential. Are they contacting folks like you? And how are you helping that come together for people?
Ignite Tech and GFI Software are both software companies, right?
I mean, gotcha.
Ignite Tech has 40 products in our enterprise software portfolio. We have large customers all over the world that depend on our software. We're leading them through innovation, not AI services. We are available 100% to any of them free of charge at any time for AI consultations. We do that all the time, but that's not where our focus is. Our focus is on driving innovation.
And the software, not the services. Gotcha. Why don't I punch down some of the top kind of products and stuff that you want folks to know about so they can know to look into them?
To start, that was a great segue. Thanks for that softball, Thomas. That was great. But I'm glad you do because here's what we're trying to do. Here's what we're not trying to do. Drive everybody to buy AI. In fact, I think the noise of that has become almost like an impediment out there because everybody in the world is using these two letters over and over again. And so in the first place, you mentioned the fear. Let me come back to that to answer this latest question. One of the fears is that AI is going to go off on its own and just replace me and do whatever it would like without my involvement. And in fact, this word agent, that is the word of 2025. This is the year of the agent. And people like to say agentic. And like, I know that normal people, meaning non-tech people, are going, what the hell is agentic mean? God, that sounds like some disembodied software running around with my credit card booking reservations. Like, what does that even mean? And so the design, so first and foremost, we are an enterprise software company. Then we created what I like to refer to as an AI startup inside of an enterprise software company. And why that's different is we are using AI to write software, that is AI software, but with an enterprise software deployment and mentality around it so customers can trust it. And it is first and foremost grounded in humans remain in control. And we call this human in the loop. That's not our phrase. It's an industry phrase, HITL, human in the loop. So we've got two brand new products that we wrote in less than 12 months, largely from with a team that we hired in 12 months. A year ago, none of them even worked for us. And we built this new AI innovation team, and we created two products in particular that we're really excited about. One is called My Personas. And so My Personas is, and we refer to it as an AI clone. You know, there's that phrase, if only I could be in more than one place at once. What if you could? And speak 160 languages. So the idea of My Personas is an AI clone, a video clone, looks like you. We record you and create you. Your voice sounds like you. And then it's grounded in your knowledge, whatever your knowledge, whatever you're trying to offer people. So give you a great example. There was a conference just a couple of months ago that we helped called Imagine AI. It was held in Las Vegas. It's a groundbreaking conference that Steve Metcalf and his organizers have put together. And every event has the same problem. Every event, whether it's a marathon or an AI conference, they have the same problem. As you get closer to the date, everyone starts contacting you, asking you the same questions. What hotel should I stay at? Is there a special rate? Where do I register? Where's the agenda? It must be killing these event organizers, because I know from past experience, as an event organizer, you've answered all these questions. Nobody reads. They just want to ask. So Steve Metcalf appeared on his website, and you could go talk to Steve and you could say, hey, Steve, what hotel should I stay at? And Steve would answer in an audio video setting, in a chat setting, and you could switch languages. Steve doesn't happen to speak 160 languages, but his AI does. And the really cool thing about My Personas and this story with Imagine AI is in the conference that we were at just a couple of months ago, we showed the next version of My Personas already, where if the AI can't answer a question, it goes and contacts the owner. There's the human in the loop. So you ask a question, like one of the questions I asked is, will French wine be served during the breaks? Like, I knew that Steve's AI didn't have that in its knowledge. So it's, well, let me go ask the owner. And so it sends an email over to the owner, to Steve. Steve can either answer the email live, or we showed a brand new feature where he could click on a link and join the live session with the person in a video window and talk with his AI in the window. Like, Steve's AI is in the window. Steve's real person is in the window. And you're talking like a FaceTime call. And I did that live from the stage in Las Vegas. Place went crazy. I did it with Steve. It's online.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. The second product is a product called Eloquence AI. And Eloquence is very much at the same, trying to get to the same problem, which is everybody has a lot of questions that come in for one reason or another. Let's take the acquisition of Chorus, for example. We knew when we announced that we acquired Chorus, that there'd be a lot of questions from customers and press, media, people interested in the community. And we had an Eloquence email ID set up, and it's a person, has a person's name, it responds to emails based on, again, the knowledge that it has. If it can't answer the question, it adds a human on CC to the email and brings them in, can even book appointments with that person. And that works so well, because what it does is it allows, again, you to answer all your inbound emails very quickly. Not a personal email. Think of this more like an info at or support at or sales at or help kind of email, right? Or response to an outbound campaign that maybe you've done for solicitation, for leads. it answers questions, always in perfect grammar, always very empathetic. It notices things like your signature. It would notice you're a podcast host, and it would tailor the message to Thomas. Since you're in the podcast, you might be really interested in this. And it also speaks 160 languages, and it's very human in the loop. It does so well. I got to tell this story because it's a true one. We had a customer from the Chorus acquisition who had gone back and forth with Eloquence asking questions and said, can I arrange a meeting? We said, sure, we can arrange a meeting. So it escalated and added a human to the meeting. And then when the person got the email invite for the invitation, the persona, the Eloquence persona's name was not on the invitation. And the customer wrote back and said, I want Lena on the call. And Lena was the email AI persona in Eloquence. And my chief revenue officer said, what do we do? I don't know, what do we break the news? That was AI that she had this long conversation with. So you know what we did? We went and asked AI. We said, hey, here's the situation. What do you recommend? AI said, I'd wait until you get on the call. If you can add her to the call for optics, go ahead and do it. But get on the call and say, it's AI that's so good, you didn't know it was AI. And by the way, you don't care. You actually don't care that it was AI. And that's what we're trying to get to. We are trying to deliver innovative solutions quicker than we ever could because of AI, that use AI to help people. That's the essence of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think, what is that show? I don't know what it's called. I don't know if it's called Westworld. And there's some scene in some popular show that I'm forgetting, that people cite, that there's the person says, are you real?
And Westworld, then she responds, Westworld, I think. Yeah, Westworld.
I think it is Westworld. Are you real? And then she responds, if you don't know, does it really matter? So that, Matrix played with that idea of I'm eating the steak. Does it matter if it's not real? I'm experiencing, this is really exciting stuff. I love talking to you, Eric. Eric, where do you want to direct people, the listeners today, to check out your stuff? Ignite Tech and the products that you guys are building over there?
Sure, that's ignitetech.ai. I'm trying to recommend to everybody, if you don't own the AI domain for your company, put your stake in the ground and go buy that, for heaven's sakes. Make sure you do. Ignitetech.ai. Eloquence is Eloquence.ai, Eloquence.ai. And then mypersonas.ai. These are all separate websites for these specific products, but they're all part of the Ignite Tech portfolio. Yeah.
Great stuff. Eric, it's been great talking to you today.
Such a pleasure, Thomas. Thanks so much for the energy.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.